Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, and I have a guest host this week.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about Microsoft's E3 announcement. We're going to be talking about a possible flexible cell phone. And we're going to be talking about solar canopies that most crowded rooftops can have, along with more. And so E3, which is the Electronics Entertainment Expo, E3 to most people, just happened last week, and Microsoft released more information about their new coming Xbox Ones. We talked about the rumors, we're going to bring you the facts. And one of the major things is the Xbox One, which Xbox One S, which is allegedly the slimmer version. I'm assuming that's what the S stands for, but with Microsoft, you never really know.
That's very true.
According to this, the release date is August 2016. Which to me sounds a little early. You think they would release it during the holiday season? The most major cool feature to me is, and I think my co-hosts will agree, it supports 4K.
Yes.
Now, if you don't know what 4K is, standard high definition, don't believe I'm saying that, is called, if full definition is, if you're talking about computer terms, is 1920 by 1080.
Yes.
4K is roughly double that. And pretty much what you're getting is you're getting more information, more pixels per inch, basically.
Yeah. So basically, we're getting closer and closer to being able to shoot things and view things at the level that we would if we were to watch it in film. Apparently, with like video stock and film, it's actually 16K.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
From what I've heard. So... we're getting closer and closer. I know, like, people are working on like 5K and 8K right now, but right now everything's in 4K.
Trust me, you'll be amazed at 4K. If you don't know what 4K looks like, I want you to go to your closest retailer, whether it's Walmart, Target, Costco, all those displays in there that are 4K say 4K on there. You know, a lot of the footage you see is pre-rolled. It's been massaged. But it looks like you're looking through a window. I mean, it's almost to the point you might get nauseous on it.
And if you've been to the theaters in the last 3 years, pretty much every major chain theater has switched their projectors over to 4K. So you've probably seen something in 4K before, and it definitely gives that a much more cinematic look.
I do think 4K is harder to tell in the theater versus your home just because of the screen size.
The screen size and, like, the lighting.
Yeah. And so this is interesting. It is more powerful. Technically, I know this is something my co-host wanted to talk about. It has an 8-core processor in it.
Yes. That's pretty awesome. Is 8-core a standard with Intel? Or?
I know they make one, but I know it's not cheap.
Yeah, I know like AMD has like a 6-core and an 8-core processor as well. But like, I think the big question is does the Xbox really need an 8-core processor?
And this is an assumption. If they're going to be doing 4K video upgrading, they're going to need the extra power just for the pushing up the video.
That's very true.
And the other thing is if they're going to be doing more things, especially multitasking, rumor has it, and Microsoft kind of said it, about having a DVR built on for TV, if they're going to be recording television along with you playing games. So I definitely think it might be for gaming, but also for doing stuff in the background.
You're definitely going to need some external hard drives then.
Yeah. I've got a 500 gigabyte one, and like four games have filled it up.
Yeah.
By the way, a bit of a sidebar, that's the one thing I truly loathe about modern consoles. And I was originally a PC gamer. If you know any PC gamers, generally they call themselves the PC Master Race. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit annoying about it, if I do say it myself. But the benefit about PC is you can swap a bigger hard drive in. You know, usually like they'll come with a 500 gigabyte hard drive unless you build your own, then you can put 4 terabytes. Consoles, you can't do that.
Well, and with PCs too, you can make as many slave drives as you want. So basically, the limit on how much memory you can get for your computer is it's limitless.
Especially, and this is a little bit of a geeky talk, especially with when they put NTFS. Now, what NTFS is, it's a file system for a computer. Windows XP used what's called FAT32, and because of technical limitations in that filing system, you had a limit on the size hard drives.
Yes.
And so what they do with NTFS is you could, if you can get the space and your motherboard was supported, you could probably get 100 terabytes.
Yes.
Now, that would be a pretty big PC case.
Now, does the Xbox run off of a standard hard drive, or does it use a solid state?
I'm almost guaranteed it's standard hard drive.
Okay.
Because the only reason I say that is because the pre-orders for the Xbox One S come in 500, 1 terabyte, and a 2 terabyte. Now, I'm assuming a 2 terabyte solid state drive would be more than the console is worth.
That's very true.
And one of the reasons why is spinning media is pretty much what a standard hard drive is cheaper to make. It's a little bit more reliable in my personal history with it. I had a solid state drive die on me. And
really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard any problems with solid state drives before. As a matter of fact, like everyone I know is saying, why are you still using the spinning ones? You should switch over to solid state. You're going to have less problems.
See, I actually had one die on me right in the middle of it. Just went, meow.
That's awful.
But this is a way sidebar. But if you can use a solid state drive, generally what I recommend is having just your OS on that. Nothing else but your OS. You'll immediately see a speed update. Have a second hard drive for everything else. I actually have three. I have an OS drive, a file drive, and a program drive. And I just back up the file drive.
Yeah, it definitely speeds up your OS.
Now, according to this, in this article, basically what I did is I copy-pasted for as much source as I can. So the article, some of it's in like English pound, some of it is in American. It's saying the European pricing for the 2-terabyte edition will be roughly €349 to €399. The 1-terabyte will be £290 to €349. So it's pretty much the price, I would say, of almost the day one edition, roughly. In some
areas. that's about the same.
Now, this is the one thing I'm super jazzed of. No more power brick. No more giant thing that you're going to be worried about that's going to set your carpet on fire. The Xbox One S is 40% smaller than the original. This must be pretty much new already thanks to all their numerous leaks, but it's great news. Such a reduction in size should be welcomed by many, as the original Xbox One was nothing short of a beast, which is totally true. What's doubly impressive, however, is the power supply is now built in. If you guys don't have like an Xbox at all or never seen one, Microsoft, and I don't know why, decided to have an external power supply. The benefit about this is they were to make their cases put more jam-packed, more stuff into the game case. But that power brick gets ridiculously hot.
Yes. And it's a pain. Like, you've got to have space for this giant machine to run your games, and then you need more space for its power supply.
And if you're one of these people, by the way, I'm not it, but if you're one of these people who are OCD and want to have all the wires and have everything neat and nice, mm-hmm. what he said is totally true. It's nearly impossible to plan for that power brick, which is about the size of a standard red brick.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Now, we talked about this a little bit, and we're jumping around a little bit to the things that we think you'd find interesting. Not only does Xbox One S support 4K video playback from streaming services like Netflix and Amazon. By the way, to get 4K streaming, there's a couple of caveats to that. You have to have the bandwidth supported by that. And you have to tell, if I remember correctly, Netflix you're doing that. I'm assuming that you'd actually have to pay a little bit more for 4K.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily. I haven't looked too deeply into it, but I know that if you're going with the standard Netflix account, it's $7.99 a month, and you can only stream in standard definition with one computer. For a dollar more, you can do HD and two sources.
So my assumption would be when 4K becomes more, it's something you're going to have to pay a couple extra bucks for.
Yeah.
Just one thing is for their bandwidth costs, because I bet sending 4K video is ridiculous. And pretty much what it is, it's like Amazon, Netflix, your internet streamer of choice.
Yeah.
They pay for the bandwidth that they're using to send to you. Now, granted, you're paying anywhere from $10 to $20, but pretty much your $10 to $20 is pretty much covering their costs on the bandwidth.
And not just that, but like if you've had buffering problems with HD in the past, like I have, you're definitely good luck buffering 4K.
Seriously. Well, you can, but you'd have to keep it paused for a while. One of the more interesting things in there is when Xbox One came out, they made a huge deal out of the Kinect.
Yes, it was really annoying. One of the reasons why I know a lot of people decided to go with the PS4 instead of the Xbox was just because of the required Kinect. And
It's funny because I was originally going to switch to PlayStation, but the problem is I've had my Xbox Live since almost the beta days.
Okay.
And my name apparently is rare. My Xbox One name has a space in it.
Oh.
That's how old it is.
Jeez.
and so what I was originally looking over and trying to get names, I couldn't get anything cool. And it sounds weird, but you want a cool name when you have video games. And this particular name I've been using,
yeah,
well, pretty much forever. So I'm kind of known by it. And so
you want either like a really badass name, or you want a name that's going to just belittle,
yes,
everybody around you.
And so that was one of the reasons I never switched. But to get back to the Kinect is there's not going to be a dedicated Kinect port. Now, what I've been reading, and I don't know if this is actually on the show notes or not, is you actually have to get a USB adapter. Now, the benefit about that is you're not going to have a port you don't use. I'm assuming for them, they're probably going to use the space for something else, hopefully another USB port. I've used the Kinect once. Besides saying Xbox on, Xbox off,
right?
Xbox, you're drunk. By the way, sorry for anybody I just turned on their Xbox. There's a Wave Runner game I played, and it's just not fun. I mean, I was really hoping for a Star Wars game. I figured if I'm going to play a gimmick, I want something that's going to be a fun gimmick.
They had a Star Wars Kinect game for the Xbox 360, but it's pretty
bad.
It's really bad. It's fun, but then once you realize how easy it is, then it's like, oh, wait, never mind.
And my biggest problem is I'm an old school gamer. I mean, I played Wolfenstein 3D when it came out originally. And so I'm kind of used to a certain style of gameplay. Now, when you talk about going from the Wii, I suck at the Wii. I am horrible at the Wii just because it's not what I grew up playing.
Well, and it's interesting because the Wii has gone back to standard controllers. Like, you can do the whole Wii thing now with the Wii U, but they also have like an Xbox controller type thing that you can use instead.
See, I knew I was right not to get a Wii. And we're coming up to a break, and after the break, we're going to be talking about Samsung's big bet on this.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
So Samsung is making a big bet on flexible OLEDs. Now, OLED is organic light emitting diode. A lot of cell phones actually use it. Some displays use it. They have a brighter picture, better colors, and lower power draw. Like for example, if you take a modern LED, LCD, LED, and or a plasma, they suck a lot of power, especially plasmas. And OLED will have less voltage required for the same picture. And when you talk about an era when people are worried about in the environment and energy savings, this is important. Now, Samsung is already dominating the OLED market, reportedly providing 95% of the displays, which is amazing that one company is doing that.
Yes.
Now, curved OLEDs is something I think is cool. It's a little bit of a gimmick. Samsung has a curved TV that if you read any of the reviews, everybody says it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about this, though, is you have a lot of uses. Like I'm trying to think of Star Trek here, for example, or something useful. Say a handrail with a hey, go here. You know, like my idea was say you had like an emergency situation, you could have a display something that says on the handrail or some sort of curved area emergency.
You could
do that with like cars and other areas that are tight and curved. Besides cell phones, I've seen curved cell phones before. I know there's the Edge and the Samsung Galaxy line. It's cool. I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah,
but the curved OLED for some reason really like excites me. I'm kind of thinking maybe how about a tablet you can fold up and put in your back pocket?
See, that would be really nice because one of the jokes that a couple of my friends and I have had since tablets became a thing is that phones are getting bigger and bigger and tablets are getting smaller and smaller. So eventually we're just going to have one.
Right? No, that's totally true. I remember, what was it, four? There's a number of years ago, like the world's largest cell phone. It was pretty much a tablet that came with its own earpiece.
Well, and it's funny because like you'll see people call people on their tablet and have this giant thing next to their head. And it's hilarious. But if you could like fold it up. If they did something like that where you could fold it up, what if you could, like, fold it up into the size of a phone and use it as a phone, but then, like, when you fold it out, you could use it as a full tablet?
See, that's cool. That could be useful. Hopefully it means people can take pictures of it folded out. So say I'm not at, like, I don't know, a Giants game and somebody's holding up their iPad to take a picture.
Oh, God.
And I'm not saying that's horrible, but you're blocking everybody's view there. It's
not
kind
just
of annoying.
That, but it's hilarious to, like... It's like tablets are, in my opinion, kind of like the new like Bluetooth headset where it's like you almost look kind of crazy using them in public. Like you have this big flat surface that you're taking pictures of things and yourself. And I'm like, you look ridiculous. It's just like the Bluetooth headset where you're talking to yourself.
I've actually had the very weird situation. And sorry for going off topic of working in a retail environment before in my past and I'm helping somebody, and I don't know if they're talking to me or the person on their headset. Now, luckily, if you're holding up a tablet, it's a little easier to tell.
That's true. You still look like a jerk, but
I'm really excited about this flexible technology. This is something that has supposedly been out for or been talked about for years. Microsoft had a version of a folding tablet that had dual screens.
Yes. Weren't they talking about doing like TVs like that at one point as well? It's pretty awesome. Like, you just roll it out.
I think that would be amazing. The other cool thing I was thinking, if it gets cheap enough, maybe embed a wall with it. Just a giant, unrollable television set. Like the book, Fahrenheit 451, talk about TV walls.
Well, and that would be great because, I mean, you remember back in the tube days how moving TVs around was... like just a pain. And then when they finally did come out with the HD tube TVs and getting those inside anywhere upstairs was a pain.
Now, if you guys step back in the Wayback Machine, when I was a kid, my parents bought a 32-inch TV back in, say, the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. That TV weighed 450 pounds for a 32-inch TV. And if you looked at the back, it had a radiation sticker that it would, you know, put Fukushima to shame. I mean, it was huge. And so you were literally scared to move it and open it. So the best thing about these LED, LCDs, and anything new, like he said, is you can move them everywhere.
Right. Well, and with the new TVs, I mean, it's not that hard. But if you could just, like, instead of setting up, like, wall mounts and stuff, just, like, roll it up over onto the wall, that would be amazing.
See, there's so much cool thing you could think about. I'm even thinking, say, for camping.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, say you have a tent and you mounted a screen there. You could mount a camera on the other side. I realize this is kind of ridiculous, but you know, you could do that, or even in a bedroom. You know, say you mount one of these on the top of the bedroom, and there's a TV on the thing on the outside, so your kids can see the stars or the rain. And this is so much cool tech. Like I'm really jonesing to see something that's, you know, bigger than a cell phone. Now, what they don't say is the how much it's going to talk about. Now, this goes into the next news story, and we're running up to a little bit of a break here, but we'll try to do our best to get it here fast. Is Samsung maybe release a phone with a bendable screens in 2017? Now, the device will be using an OLED along with, let's see. The device will be using an OLED as soon as 2017. People may ask not to be identified. See, the product could be a game changer if Samsung successfully comes up a user interface suitable for bendable screens. And this is coming from the IBK Securities in Seoul. And the biggest part, I think, would making them durable. Because phones take a big abuse. Like, for example, I always tell all my friends if they get an iPhone or a Galaxy is get the OtterBox Defender. The reason why is because you can beat the living tar out of an OtterBox Defender and it won't hurt your phone. Now, if you have a phone that bends, the biggest weakness in it, to me, at least in my mind, is is where it bends.
Well, see, I actually think that this is a good idea because I've actually broken phones. I stick my phone in my back pocket.
Oh no, you're one of those.
Yes, I'm one of those people.
Oh no,
it feels comfortable for me there. It's like I have another wallet. Well, I have broken phones doing that. I've bent them and.
No, what size phone do you have? Is it like a 6 Plus or?
I have a really small LG, but I had a.
I have a 6 Plus. I'm trying to think
you
of.
You can't put that in your back pocket.
Because if I put my 6 Plus in my back pocket, I'm pretty sure I'd be getting a 7 Plus. So
yeah. Well, and I had a HTC that was, you know, about the size, a little bit smaller than the Samsung Galaxy. And I just put it in my back pocket. And one day it got really, really hot outside and I sat down. And because of the heat, it bent the phone and broke the screen. Oh, wow. So a bendable phone for me is ideal because I don't like having my phone in my front pocket. I don't like having it in my shirt pocket. Like, I like it in my back pocket.
So it's a use case.
Yeah.
I could see that. A bendable phone, I mean, for me personally, I'm more excited about the bendable screen technology. But a bendable phone, depending on a couple of things, like the user interface, how it worked. Yeah. I would be excited about it. One of the patents Apple recently did was for a round iPhone. Granted, if you follow any of these news sites like Engadget and other places that say Apple patented this, Apple patents a ton of stuff. Usually if it's any idea that they think could work, they could patent it, even if they don't use it.
It's true. So they're sneaky.
You need to be careful about finding patents and being excited about it because Microsoft does the same thing. It could be something that it could be useful in the future, so let's patent it today. Just a little bit of word.
Well, and as far as patenting goes too, Blu-ray is owned by Sony.
Yeah.
Every time you buy a Blu-ray disc, you're giving money to Sony. And it's because they patented that technology and won the race against HD DVD.
Yeah, and the same thing with MP3s. There's a bunch of stuff that you and I use every day that, amazing enough, it's one company that owns a patent. And we're going to be definitely talking about this more down the line because this is something that I know myself and my co-host think is interesting. And before we go on the break, I want you to do me a favor. Go to GSMC's Technology Podcast Facebook page. Find the episode. This is episode 10. And I want you to comment specifically about this and tell me what you think. Is a curved screen interesting to you? Do you need a curved phone, for example? What do you think? Do you want it to fold in your pocket? And after the break, we're going to be talking about solar technology.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, solar panels have really, in the last 5 years, really picked up. One being the reliability of the panels. They last longer. And there's a company that is starting to make customized canopies for buildings that have crowded roofs. For example, New York City. A lot of New York City roofs are covered by water towers and a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
So imagine you had this custom-built canopy that had that was specifically designed to catch the most amount of sun during the day. Now, this is there's a company doing that, and they do it from rural areas to large cities. And it's engineers at Brooklyn Solar Works have found a way around by raising solar panels above the roof. Now, this is something I think is big. I love the idea of solar panels. I know people personally that have them. I know people that have bought them and rented them. And I think the more solar panels, the better things will get. Now, the difference between solar panels and most of the power we're getting now is a lot of the power we're running now is emits greenhouse gases. Now, whether you believe in what's happening to Earth as far as, you know, global climate change and all that or not, this is a benefit because it's cheap power. And the cheaper the power gets, the cheaper your bill, the less, you know. And so this is something I think is a big deal. What do you think?
And one of the things that, you know, has always been kind of a big concern with solar power is the size and how we need to get a big surface area to capture the sun. Well, as technology has gone further, we're discovering more and more practical uses for solar power and how to set them up to where they're not going to be in the way. Like, this would be a perfect example of setting up solar powers in a practical way that isn't going to get in the way of anything else around it.
And matter of fact, it even mentions that in the article. It says the canopies will rise above the height needed to meet fire codes. Fire codes, I'm assuming chimney codes, if there's something like that.
Yeah.
And this is important. If you guys don't know anything about building codes, it actually specifically says certain things, like the height of windows and the size of windows. Matter of fact, the size of doors are actually specified within the Universal Building Code.
Yes.
So this is, like you said, this is really important. And the coolest thing, say if you have a block in New York and every roof has this, you're doubling or tripling the amount of power that city you have access to.
Right. In the beginning, another big problem with solar powers is everyone's concerned about the cost. In the beginning, of course, it's going to cost a little bit of money. But once it actually gets going, and depending on how long those solar panels can last, you start seeing a bit of a profit, and eventually it'll pay for itself.
A lot of pundits call that cost to entry, which is the initial cost is really expensive.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of something. And it also depends on where the panels are made. I know people who in the industry say American panels are the best. And generally, the American panels are more expensive. Just something to keep in mind.
That's very true. There's also a company. I don't have an article for it, but there is a company as well that's trying to integrate it into road technology.
Isn't there? I think there's a test run in California somewhere where they're actually going to put some in a road.
Yeah. So, like, basically, they're solar panels that go in the road, and they're in little squares. So if one was to get damaged, they can just remove it and put another one there.
See, I always thought they should do like thermal power because roadways are being black, generate so much heat. I always figured you could figure out a way to put a sensor in there and you could get heat solely based off of that.
I don't know how we would find a way to like harness that energy, but that's a good idea.
Because I don't know if anybody's ever been in a place like a city that's all concrete. I was in Washington, D.C. some time ago. And it was 124. And if you've ever been to D.C., it's all concrete and cement and marble. It was so hot, people were passing out in the Washington Monument. So if you could figure out how to harness that, I think that'd be another great way to do it.
Well, yeah. And, like, I come from Fresno. So in Fresno, it gets really hot. You can, like, cook an egg on the sidewalk. So, I mean, thermal power would be – if we could harness it, sure.
And we're going to go into something that kind of fits within this, but kind of not. Now, this is something that, honestly, I just think it's cool. There's a South African company who's come up with a pop-up emergency shelter that fits into shipping containers, a Connex unit, what they're generally called. And what it is this comes with – now, each emergency shelter comes with 110 outlets, tables, benches, sink, water for purification, heat – can be collapsed down to 30 centimeters. It comes with running water. I'm assuming if you have a source to get that.
And its insulated panels are integrated into steel walls and roof units, which enable the residents to maintain a comfortable living temperature. Pretty much what this is a temporary shelter that can last 20 years.
So how much is the rent? That sounds great.
It doesn't, right? It doesn't actually say that. I'm thinking, can I buy a couple?
Right.
It says 16 Humana Hut shelters can fit into a single shipping container, and each one can be set up with about 5 minutes, allowing for rapid and dignified relief for refugees. Hannah Hut, a South African startup, developed its all-in-one emergency shelter solution over the course of about 3 years. And the one thing this is cool is about this, at least for this specific thing, is that they were designed in a third world country. If you can have quick, easy shelters for relief, especially in that area, you're going to help millions of people.
Is South Africa technically a third world country? I thought it was like second world.
It's second or third world. It's something like that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. This is where my journalistic, you know, skills failed.
I know things can get a little hairy in South Africa.
I wish I knew. My humble apologies. I didn't actually look that up. But I think that's awesome. I mean, I know there's areas in the Middle East, in Africa, where things are happening. If you can make an area with a bunch of these, you could help people in a dignified way that I think is awesome. Instead of having people in tents, you have them in air conditioning huts.
Yeah.
And you have solar panels. And if you have enough of them, you already have a built-in solar grid. All you have to worry about is figuring out how to have water.
Yeah, just the only thing, and I think it's just something that most of us are kind of concerned about, is just like, what's the price, you know? Like, it doesn't say, does it?
No, the article I found, I don't remember seeing a price, and this is a startup company, so I'm figuring it's probably expensive right now.
And they probably don't really know themselves.
That's my guess. I wouldn't be surprised if they have maybe a couple of dozen versions of it type of thing. But
right.
I bet right away, I wouldn't be surprised if it's incredibly expensive. But I bet down the road when they figure out how to manufacture it cheaply, better materials, a lot of this comes down from my experience to design and cost. As soon as they get all that down, I bet you could... I can't wait for you maybe buy some for like $1,000, a couple of $100s, or you know.
Who knows? We might even end up with cities just full of them.
I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. You imagine that? Instead of going to Burning Man and bringing a tent, you just bring a bunch of Hannah huts?
Right. Or, you know, like instead of, you know, renting an apartment, you just have a Hannah hut. Hannah hut parks.
I could see that in New York City. That would be awesome. Instead of Central Park, it's just a bunch of Hannah huts.
Or just like, you know, instead of like trailers, you know, you just have these.
You see, that does totally remind me of FEMA during, what was it, the last major hurricane a couple of years ago. Something like this would be awesome. Instead of having a bunch of FEMA trailers, you just bring a couple of shipping containers,
mm-hmm.
and you could, boom, instantly 16 places to put people. You have, say, 10 of them. You've automatically, like, quadrupled the amount of people you can help.
True, yeah.
And the reason why I brought this up is this really is technology, and I know usually the last story is for goofy stuff. But I wanted to bring two of these attention. One is solar power is cheap now. It's still expensive, but like 10, 20 years from now, I guarantee you're going to be able to put it on your roofs for penny on the dollar, mm-hmm. and it's going to save you a ton of money. And that's one of the other reason I brought up the Humana Hut thing is helping more people. And as a geek, that's the one thing I love about technology is it helps people.
Yes.
And good technology allows you to do things, but it's not in the way. You know, like, what was it? They have green cars that burn grease. That, to me, is not a technology I would use because I have to do it. I have to go out on my way.
Right.
This is not in the way. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. And I definitely think that, like, technology is definitely probably one of the things that helps humanity out the most. I know a lot of people are afraid of technology, and I think we should really just take a step forward and stop being so scared.
I think it depends on the technology.
And right.
Granted, I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon on some of this. I think we should embrace technology that's able to help things. I'm not really on AI. I'm kind of in between of, hey, I think it'd be cool to have HAL 9000, you know, or Cortana, but you know, from Halo. But you know, look what
right.
HAL did.
I've seen enough science fiction movies to know where that's going.
Exactly. I don't want Cylons. unless, you know, I can be their leader. So we're coming to the end of their show. I wanted you to do me a favor. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com and take a look at the podcasts we do. We have a lot. We have book reviews, football, relationship, music. We've got a ton of awesome podcasts that I know you're like. But before you view anybody else's podcast, I want you to go to GSMC's technology podcast page. Click on that. I want you to subscribe on anywhere that our podcast is available, because I know you will enjoy every podcast we do. And also, for every story that we've done today, I want you to go to our Facebook page. It's GSMC Technology Podcast Facebook page. Find this episode. This is episode 10. And I want you to comment. Do you love what we said? Do you hate what we said? Do you have a story do you think we should do that you really want us to know about? We want to hear from you. And as always, I want to thank you for listening to GSMC's Technology Podcast.